Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 15 of the Massive Breakdown podcast. We are back here with another PvP-centric episode. Last week, it was a lot of me talking, so this week we're going to throw it over to Cougar. He's going to go a lot more in-depth than the general basic tips I had last week. He's got a lot of stuff to share with you. But before we do that, some cool stuff about Festival of the Lost. Maybe if I am not lazy as hell tomorrow, I'll be able to get this out early so it coincides nicely with the Festival of the Lost release. If not, you might be hearing about it a day after it comes out, but we're just going to go ahead and talk about a few of the things that are coming out tomorrow, a few of the updates, a lot of visual stuff, right, Kutch? Just a ton of cool new things. We got new ornaments, mm-hmm. We got new masks, we got, what else do we have that's coming out?
So we have a ton of new masks. Not only new masks, but also updated masks, and I think that we can expect some graphical improvements on that front. It's been a whole year. Rise of Iron, you know, presented graphical improvements in and of itself. So I expect these masks to be looking, crisp and sharper than ever. Beyond that, we've also got new consumables. We've got different colored jack lights, kind of spooky shadow head kind of thing. We've got a new giant eye head consumable. I think it's called the Sleepless Gaze, which looks just super freaky. That's like one of my nightmares, is a giant eyeball. So I don't know if I'll be using that one. Most importantly, we also have Ascendant Raisins. I think we can expect that they will be just as powerful as the original box of raisins. If you weren't here for that, I can't even explain it to you. And we've got tons of other new stuff. Emotes. We have a deviled ghost. It is not deviled. If you're a little confused, it's an egg joke. Took me a minute too. Don't worry about it. We've also got new shaders. Let's take a look at these right now. Let's see, Candlelight, Sea of Tears, and Unquiet Spirit. Let me see if we've got any kind of... So Candlelight is going to be purple and black. Sea of Tears is another blue shader, and Unquiet Spirit is all kinds of green, so that's what I'll be wearing. How about you guys?
Sea of Tears seems incredibly appropriate for the theme of this episode.
Well, that is that is pretty apt and a good segue. Not too much else to share there. There is a new Sparrow. We'll have to check that out in the game, see if it's worth using. And then a couple of... let's see, what do we got? Oh, we've got the... Boy, I'm blinking on the name of the exotic. Isn't that embarrassing?
Bad Juju,
wow. I haven't even been drinking tonight very much. So we've got Dragon's Bane and Hoodoom, the two new, widely previewed weapon skins for Bad Juju. Take a look at those.
And we've got all the stuff for the ghost, too. We've got the ghost where it has a sheet draped over it. Which I'm looking forward to. I don't know if you mentioned that, but I was looking at the screen over on the other side, and it just kept popping up and flashing around. And I was like, damn, that's a good one for them. I don't know how they're going to come up with more stuff to top this next year. Yeah, we've also got that one very strange mask where I think it's Jolder's head with an axe in it and a bunch of SIVA stuff coming out of that.
Yes.
So I'm sure you're going to see a lot of people wearing that and mocking Lord Saladin, standing around him and dancing or doing the little emote where you float up in the air and twitch around a bit or something like that. going for a creepy vibe with this Festival of the Lost.
Yeah, I think that's the Terrify emote, I believe. So that's going to be pretty freaky. And then we've got the Wolf Howl, of course, which just looks awesome. Excited to try that one out.
Well, talking about the Terrify emote, this is kind of funny. My friend who has never played through the campaign has basically only played PvP. The other day came across someone doing the Taken Shiver in PvP, and he'd never seen that before ever. And he's never seen the Taken enemies either. And he legitimately, I was doing something on my phone, and he's like, dude, he's like, this guy's glitching over here. He's like, does this guy have a virus? And I was just like, oh God, bro. I was like, you have so much to learn about Destiny, my friend. But I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm looking forward to the first time he sees the Terrify emote and has no idea what's going on. So I think that's it for Festival of the Lost, though. It's not too much crazy stuff. It's mostly just a bunch of fun little items, just like last year, too. It's not a huge, real big balance patch or anything, so we're not going to have any crazy news for y'all, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm psyched. No mechanical changes, but, I mean, that's all right. I'm good with where things are at right now. I don't want to see anything big change into Wave of Chance to get used to this.
Yep, and like you said, so we'll be beginning with our journey through the Ocean of Tears, or the Sea of Salt, whichever one it's going to be today. But I think Cooker's going to explain to us the best ways to maybe not avoid it, but make your opponent suffer through it a little bit more than you do. Is that right?
That is right. There's no avoiding the suffering. There's only making it worse for somebody else. And before we get to it, we're going to start with the pre-matchmaking guide. I just want to run through a few things here. We're going to start out with subclass and recommended stat splits, what you need to focus on basically dumping your stats into. And I'll point out anything that could be advantageous for you to run on each subclass as it comes up, aside from Sunbreaker, because I don't really have much on the Sunbreaker. All right, so to start out, though, we're going to start with Warlocks.
Okay, got my Warlock pulled up.
And first of these will be the Voidwalker. My recommended stat splits are Intellect Discipline, or occasionally you can get away with Discipline Strength. I do prefer Intellect Discipline, though. As far as advantageous perk choices, I'd recommend going with Axion Bolts. I know the Nothing Manacle Scatter Grenades are the sexier choice per se, but they are not on the same level as Axion Bolts. I'd rather have that grenade that tracks you all the way across the map for a good 15 seconds over just a very short range, weak tracking, all around subpar compared to the Axion Bolt grenade.
Yeah, I just, I guess, wanted to offer just a bit of personal experience. Voidwalker is the only Warlock subclass I have unlocked, so we're going to see if you convince me to change that today, but having played a lot with both Axion Bolts and Nothing Manacles, what I found the difference is that Nothing Manacles scatter grenades are super powerful if your grenade throws are spot on. If you land it right at somebody's feet, right on the wall next to their head, you shred them. If you miss, you don't even tickle them. And so that's where Axion Bolts really, I find, are very consistent at kind of chasing people out. So that's, for people who maybe haven't used both, just kind of a reminder there for what the trade-offs are, I guess.
If you catch an opponent perfectly, you do have a good chance of getting a kill without having to shoot or melee or any of that. But your opponent's much more likely to just dodge them, jump away, run away, whatever. They don't track very long, so you're not gonna see too many kills with them. The Axion Bolt is going to track them forever. It doesn't do a one-hit kill's worth of damage, but it does do about 160 damage, I believe, which leaves them open to a body shot from most hand cannons to get a kill. And while the Shatter Grenades work very, very well to get somebody out of cover, so does the Axion Bolt.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Super, my recommendation, after quite a bit of deliberation, I really do think all three options for the Super have their benefits. I would have to go with Shatter, however, just for the wider spread that you're going to get. You cover a larger area. Most people don't know this, but you can aim the individual bomblets, I guess. We're going to call them bomblets on your Super by turning your screen as you throw your Super out there. So you could actually potentially spread these out over a pretty large distance, making it really a great panic Super, or a great cancel Super in the case of dealing with something like a Blade Dancer or a Stormcaller. And then for the melee, I have got to recommend Lifesteal. In one-on-one shotgun battle situations, Lifesteal has cost me more engagements than I like to admit to. It really is awesome for making it out of a situation that you should have traded in.
Yeah, I have a great funny little video of running around with Ramlock and just life-stealing a couple of people and just surviving so many near-death situations that I should not have walked away with. I mean, I think everybody probably has a recording of Ramlocks or just Voidwalkers with life-steal. It's so funny. It's so good.
It really is something else. Real quick, I'm going to run off my top three exotics for the Voidwalker. Number one would be Voidfang Vestments. You respawn with a grenade every time. It enhances your Axion Bolt. You track for longer, and you spawn more of the little tracking bolts. The second place would go to the Ram for the boost in armor. You can actually reach with the Ram avoid armor chest piece, and tracking on your Nova Bomb, the same armor that pre-most recent nerf Sunsingers could reach. So that's a good little tidbit to keep in mind. It will let you tank a shoulder charge. And then third place, really first place for general usage across the entire Warlock class, would be the Ophidian Aspect, which is the set of gauntlets that gives you quick draw and faster reload. These things are just all around incredibly good, and definitely my recommendation to at least try.
As far as it goes, when I run Voidwalker, I love the ram, and I love trying to max out armor as much as I can. And I talked about this last episode too, but people will sometimes say that those little bits of armor don't make a difference. Those little bits of armor make a huge difference. We were talking last week about how 10 armor can allow you to survive one headshot and two body shots from the Palindrome. 10 armor can allow you to survive 8 headshots from the Hawksaw. There are a lot of things that going from, you know, up one level of armor can keep you alive when you normally die. I can't count the number of times I've run away from an engagement that I won with what looks to be no health left on my health bar. And the reason why I was able to do that is because I prioritize maxing armor over anything else. And the ram definitely helps you to do that.
Thank you for bringing up armor. Across the board with Warlocks, I must recommend prioritizing armor and recovery. Agility is not important. Warlocks have terrible jump abilities as far as getting from point A to point B quickly anyway. I see no need to waste points in agility. That really doesn't help anyway.
Yeah, totally agree.
So moving on, we're going to run on to the Sunsinger class, formerly the number one overall class in the game. Now, don't really know what place it would be, but it's definitely not top. My recommendations, I have two separate stat split recommendations for the Sunsinger. It depends on whether you are shotgunning or any other close range special, or if you're sniping. For shotgunning, you need to prioritize discipline and strength. That flame shield melee, while it is slightly delayed in granting you the shield, is still incredibly useful. Grenades are the shotgunner's best friend, and no matter what grenade you choose to run with on the Sunsinger, you still need to be using them at the first opportunity every single time they're recharged. For snipers, I recommend intellect discipline, because ideally you're avoiding getting into melee situations anyway. And that super is great for chucking those grenades out there. So every time you can have that up is a net positive. The perks to look out for on the Sunsinger. Outside of Trials, I recommend Radiant Skin. Trials is really the only place that you need to revive yourself, and you really shouldn't need that in the first place. Radiant Skin is a massive damage resistance buff. It lasts longer, so you can throw more grenades. And really, it's just all around one of the best supers in the game. Fusion grenades are my grenade recommendation. The Firebolt Viking Funeral Touch of Flame combo just doesn't pack the punch it used to. Doesn't burn as long, so you can't track or delay health regeneration as long. So as much as it pains me to do this, I have to recommend the trade nades. Flame Shield is still my recommended melee. I'd go with double grenades and longer time in Radiance for the other perks.
Yeah, and Sunsinger's really kind of fallen off a cliff recently in terms of its PvP effectiveness. A lot of its deadly nature was due to that Viking Funeral Firebolt Grenade combo that you mentioned. And when Bungie nerfed it, they nerfed it, you know, pretty hard. The Firebolts had already been nerfed individually before, and then when they changed the way Viking Funeral works, it really just... I don't want to say killed, because there are some very, very good Sunsinger Warlocks still out there, but it definitely neutered it pretty effectively. Sunsingers for a long time in Trials, you would run into, you know, teams of three of them that were just abusing those grenades, and that doesn't happen as much anymore. Now, Warlocks are still powerful, but Sunsinger just probably at this point in time isn't the most powerful Warlock class. Just throwing that out there, you might want to give, you know, Stormcaller or Voidwalker a shot. Because those two right now, especially the Stormcaller melee, are just absolutely fantastic.
And speaking of Stormcaller, I think that is a great way to bring that up. This is my preferred subclass across the entire game. I run Stormcaller almost exclusively on my Warlock. I recommend an intellect strength split because the super is an incredible slayer super with great movement, and the melee, to use my preferred terminology, is just stupid. The amplify melee can reach outside of shotgun one-hit kill range. I mean, it's incredible. You can take absurdly long-range shots with a shotgun, follow that up with a melee, and kill somebody before they even have a chance to counter you. So, we're looking at a top-tier super, a top-tier melee. Unfortunately, the grenades are bottom-tier, to be generous, but I do recommend choosing between either the Arc Bolt or the Storm Grenade. They both have very distinct weaknesses and strengths. I'll cover those in just a few minutes.
Yeah, so talking about the Stormcaller melee, someone actually mentioned on a post of mine earlier, and I forgot to talk about it, because I was just recommending perks for shotguns in general, and they wanted to talk about close and or personal, and how that combines perfectly with the Stormcaller melee. Because I believe close and or personal activates just on shotgun hits, not on kills, and it increases damage to your melee. So what they suggest doing is just shooting your shotgun way before you're in one-hit kill range, and then pairing it up with an amplify melee, and knowing that you're going to be taking someone down far before they can ever reach you, basically. And that wasn't something I thought about doing myself. I'd never actually run that perk, but I just felt like I'd maybe throw that out there and see if y'all had anything you wanted to add to it.
Unfortunately, close and or personal does not proc with the Stormcaller melee.
Oh, really?
Really.
Is it just on the Stormcaller melee that it doesn't proc, or is it glitched, or...
I know it procs on the Voidwalker melee. I'm not 100% on Sunsinger, but I do know for a fact that it does not work with the Stormcaller melee. I think that's intentional, because it really would be just an absolutely dominant subclass if that were the case.
Well, I'm glad you preemptively let me know that before I went into the Crucible and thought something was going on with it not working. But yeah, well, I'm glad I brought that up then, because that was something I did not know.
Yeah, I guess I can confirm otherwise it is 25% bonus on hits. So still maybe not a terrible perk for a Warlock, given that Warlocks can punch pretty close to shotgun range to begin with.
Or maybe use a gunslinger. This is a different subclass, but gunslinger with a throwing knife too might be kind of funny thing to do. Although that's probably easier with a hand cannon. But getting off subject, so back to y'all.
All right. To continue on, I just recommended intellect strength because the grenades are weak. As far as perk choices go, obviously amplify on the melee. You want that extended range. Even without close and or personal, it still has the capacity to reach out and touch somebody at ranges that are unheard of. On the super, I recommend Ionic Blink. It is by far the strongest choice in the tree. The other two choices are Landfall and Superconductor. Landfall, I think, is kind of a trap. The only way you can really get something out of Landfall is either using it as a panic super, which leaves you open to getting team shot or shot down immediately by a shotgun melee, and trying to use it, say, to bust a bubble, which doesn't work anymore, but you can pop it inside a bubble and hope for the best. The other one is Superconductor, which I've only seen work in PvP one time, and that was, of course, against me, but aside from that, that really is more of a PvE-centric sort of choice.
Yeah, it's a shame that they did that to Landfall, because I really did enjoy using that to go bust the Titan's bubble. But I understand why they removed that perk from it. It's already a very, very powerful super, especially if you're playing against a team that's even the least bit unorganized, and they've gotten kind of away from each other just enough to where they can't team shot you. But the problem with that is they run to come help, and if they get there too late, they're running directly into that chain lightning. And I can't count the number of times where I've seen a good Stormcaller finish off 5 or 6 people because they were just lining up, basically. And this is obviously in something like Rift or Control or Clash, where it's a lot easier to do that. But that doesn't make it any less powerful of a super in something like threes.
Yeah, so that's a good point about Landfall. I just want to say, and I'm by no means a good Stormcaller or an okay Stormcaller, and I'm a terrible Stormcaller, but Landfall was such a trap to begin with when you could use it to pop bubbles. It It got me killed probably as often as it successfully killed somebody, because I would go looking for those opportunities. I'd go looking for, where's the control point? Do they have a bubble up again? Can I smash it? I mean, it puts you into, you're taking risks activating a roaming super instead of being smart and activating it in cover. And for a super, like you said, that you can go 5 or 6 kills. I've seen people, hit 7th columns, not all the time, but it happens with Stormcaller because it lasts a long time and you just wreck people. Like, why would you risk that to pop a bubble? If you're me and you're stupid, I mean, it's an easy answer, but I don't think it really hurt the class in any way that they can't pop a bubble that way now. So
yeah, on that topic, it puts you, landfall puts you in the striker mentality without the movement abilities of a striker. And that really, it's really easy to see how incredibly powerful the Titan movement, Titan skating is when you're put in that situation. So for that reason, I do recommend Blink. You can also use Blink to, on the rare occasion, dodge counter supers like Nova Bomb, Fist of Havoc, and Tether. It's great for avoiding getting team shot. All around, it's a great movement ability, and it's going to keep you alive and using your super more often for longer periods of time. And then Pulse Wave. I know this column has Transcendence in it. Transcendence is absolutely wonderful for your super. By all means, use it. But don't have it equipped for the entire game when you can have a perk selected that benefits you more often than once or twice a game when you pop your super. Just switch to Transcendence before you use your super. Take advantage of the agility buff for both yourself and your teammates that is granted by Pulse Wave. Now, I want to get on the topic of grenades. The two grenades I recommended were the Storm Grenade and the Arc Bolt. Your other option is the Pulse Grenade. This has literally no advantage except for the fact that it cannot be destroyed, which neither can the other two. So, no advantage at all. It sucks. Storm Grenades are an area of effect grenade that has no tracking, but essentially locks down wherever you throw it for about 2 seconds with enough damage to get a kill on any non-supered Guardian. I like to use this as sort of a cover buster and a way to cover my own retreats if I need to disengage and go back and regenerate health. It's wonderful if you can place it on top of or around cover that an opponent has a very advantageous position in. Use it to force them out. Axiom Bolts, on the other hand, not Axiom Bolts, pardon me, Arc Bolts, on the other hand, are more of a prime cleanup grenade. You'd want to use these when you've got an opponent around the corner and you either want to prime him for an easy kill with primary or special, or you've already done plenty of damage with your primary or special weapon and you want to clean him up, but he's in cover and you're worried about turning that corner and getting killed. So these Arc Bolt grenades have a pretty decent tracking range. They do a little less than half damage to your opponent's health, but they are a pretty nice choice for shotgunners in general. Storm Grenade does seem to be more of a sniper's choice, but I do use it to great effect on the shotgunner as well.
I can vouch for that. I'm a sniper when I play on my Stormcaller. I'm a sniper when I play on basically every character, but specifically on the Stormcaller as well. And I use the Storm Grenades basically because I like area denial grenades. I like to be able to funnel people into either my opposing teammates, or I like to be able to funnel them into a sniper lane that I want them to run through. I like to basically be able to throw the Storm Grenade and know that that particular area is off limits for a couple seconds. And the Crucible, a couple seconds is a lot of time all that it takes. You know, when you're trying to get as fast as you can somewhere at the very beginning of the match and you see a Storm Grenade, most players aren't going to sit there and wait for that Storm Grenade to go down. They're going to see the lightning bolt hit, they're going to see the second lightning bolt hit, and they're going to buck and try to find another way. And you can really, really use that to make people predictable. And even if they don't take the other path, then they've just wasted their time trying to get into a prime position, and now your team has the advantage of positioning. Now you are the guys looking at the corner someone's going to come around with a sniper rifle, as opposed to it being the other way around. So that's one of the ways that I like to use Storm Grenades, just for me, myself.
Excellent point. All right, before we move on to Titans, does anybody want to jump in with anything about Warlocks? I completely forgot to give exotic recommendations for the Sunsinger and the Stormcrawler, so I'm going to go back and do that now. Thank you for reminding me.
You are so welcome.
Top three exotics for Sunsinger. Just run through them real quick. Would have to be, again, the Ophidian aspect. Discussed this earlier, but it does make it a little quicker for your handling, which is nice for a shotgunning Sunsinger build, both for your shotgun and your melee. Having a quick draw shotgun is highly useful for when you get caught with your pants down, you got a primary out, the other guy has a shotgun out, and you're like, oh god, what's going to happen? Next place goes to the Voidfang vestments, which allow you to spawn in with a grenade every time you spawn. Or you can go with the Starfire protocol. I'm going to put that tied for second, since it allows you to have two fusion grenades and either choose Angel of Light or Viking Funeral. And then in third place, I'm going to recommend Claws of Ahamkara. Two flame shield melees is better than one flame shield melee.
I think I'd probably agree with those. Claws of Ahamkara has got to be one of my favorites, just on the Warlock class in general. Having two melees with how strong their melees are is probably one of the nicest things. You know that you hit someone and you do your high damage melee and then it's not going to revert back to the normal one. And I've always loved Claws of Ahamkara. Plus it looks sexy too, so you can't get better than that.
So I know previously that the Ram was super popular on Sunsingers in addition to Voidwalkers just for the extra armor bonus. Is there any benefit to continuing to run that? I know there have been a lot of changes to Sunsingers and since I really saw that a lot. What's your take on that?
There is still benefit. There is always benefit to adding more armor. I'm not 100% certain on whether you can tank a shoulder charge with a max armor Sunsinger and a Ram and a solar chest piece. But even without that, I'm pretty sure you can still eat the one headshot, two body shots from mid-impact hand cannon. And honestly, you're going to run into that more often than you run into a shoulder charge.
Yeah, I run into that a lot, actually, so... I had one other question about the Voidwalker real quick. I'm not sure if you covered it and I missed it. I was flipping through my perks a lot while you were talking, just kind of comparing what I've been running to what you've been talking about. Totally with you on the Shatter part of the super, but then I had a question. Your recommendation for the Annihilate, Angry Magic, the Hunger column. I normally run Angry Magic, not because the tracking is all that valuable, but just because I like, you know, like you said, I like having more armor. And I don't find that the extra 2 seconds that the hunger gives you an energy drain is enough to really be worth the trade-off of one armor.
So this column is a little bit of a toss-up. Angry Magic does grant you both tracking and increased armor. Really, the increased armor is only vital if you're trying to run that max armor Ram void chest piece build. It's always nice, but it's not necessarily required. Annihilate's a nice perk, especially with Shatter. The larger explosions allow you to cover an even larger area with your super, which in turn allows you to get more kills, deny more access, all that. It's very nice with the Vortex as well. And then the Hunger, for the most part, is what I run on a Voidwalker. When you get a kill with a grenade without the Hunger, it gets you to probably 80% of your grenade charge with the Hunger equipped. You will get 100% grenade charge back when you get a kill with a grenade, essentially making it a zero-sum grenade.
So I can actually, I guess, maybe add a little bit to that. I do with Shatter Grenades. I normally run Annihilate. If I'm going nothing manacles, Shatter Grenades, I usually turn off that extra armor just to, because it's a grenade build. You know, that's what I'm doing it for, so I can throw a crap ton of grenades and blow people up. But I've actually found that I don't need the hunger to get my grenade fully recharged. It could be max discipline gets me close enough, and then by the time I've thrown the next grenade, it's had enough time for that second charge to just finish off that little extra bit. But I did record myself killing 4 people in a row with Shatter Grenades, one right after the other. with only very brief delays in between. Now, this was pre-Rise of Iron, so I don't think anything changed in that time period. I know the scale changed a little bit on where our abilities are at, but other than that, I think if you're tier 5, I think you can still... Maybe it was just the two grenade charges, though. Maybe that's what the difference maker was. Gave me that extra second or so, get myself the rest of the way there.
Those scatter grenades used to be real powerful. They were like tiny little void Galahorns, basically, when you'd throw them around. they were fun. Yeah, because it was kind of funny that before that they'd been, I don't want to say useless, but they were not in the meta at all. And you as soon as the Nothing Manacles came out, those things were like littering the Crucible. Just double scatter grenades everywhere. It was brutal, brutal for a while. And they gave them a tiny little nerf that I think brought them in line. They're still very good, like you said, if you're very accurate. If you hit someone at their feet, you're going to kill them. If you miss someone, nothing is going to happen, basically. You just wasted a grenade into a hallway.
And just a quick clarification on that. Predicting the direction that someone is moving in with scatter grenades, because the tracking is so weak, like you pointed out, Cougar, is actually really important. I find a lot of people escape with either half health or even sometimes minimal damage if I guess which direction they're going to move in wrong. So mostly, you know, if somebody's coming at you, you don't want to really land it right at their feet, but maybe a little bit in front of them to account for travel time and the time for the tracking to actually process and activate. You know, but again, if they're running away, if they're running sideways, it gets a little harder, and that's where they become inconsistent, at least in my experience, and where the Axion Bolt really shines, because it doesn't care.
That's very true. One thing I wanted to point out as an advantage to the scatter grenades, I failed to mention this, in revive-based game modes such as Trials of Osiris, Skirmish, and Salvage, you can use a scatter grenade by throwing it directly on a ghost that somebody is trying to revive, and it is nearly always a guaranteed kill.
Sometimes a double kill.
It's a nifty little trap to have. So, moving on to the Stormcaller exotics. This one I'm going to have, yet again in first place, the Ophidian aspect. This is highly, highly important for a subclass that is really built for shotgunning. Getting your shotgun melee off quicker, a lot of times means you're going to win an engagement. It has become a staple of Destiny, the same way it was a staple of Halo. The quicker reload speed, of course, is always an advantage. Second place goes to Claws of Ahamkara, because having two incredibly ridiculously far-reaching melees is better than having one incredibly ridiculously far-reaching melee. And then in third place, the only Stormcaller exclusive exotic in the game, the Impossible Machines. Because while I don't advocate for choosing Landfall in that perk column, having Landfall isn't a bad thing.
It allows you a little bit of the panic super that something like Nova Bomber Striker is. And like you were talking about earlier, it's not advisable to go searching out a target to use Landfall on, because you're going to end up forgetting that you're not a Titan. You're going to run onto a control point and try to pop it over three people. And lo and behold, you get immediately team shot and destroyed. It's not a great thing to use aggressively. It's a very good thing to use defensively. It allows you to get a little bit of that, oh shit, hit the button, kill the person who's right next to you mentality with the Stormcaller, which can save your life. And like Cougar said, it's probably not worth choosing over the other perks, but if you run the Impossible Machines, it's a nice little bonus for you to have. Just make sure that it doesn't get into your head that that's the only way you can use Stormcaller. You know, it's like people think that if they have Landfall, they have to get a kill with Landfall or it's a wasted super. No, you have to get a kill with your super after the Landfall. The Landfall is just there to keep you alive in the meantime.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I think having it on the exotic kind of makes it sort of an extra ability rather than the main thing. And I, like you pointed out, Cougar, Ionic Blink is so powerful. Blink in general, I'm a huge fan of, especially on Voidwalker. So being able to get that on a Stormcaller is just sick. And then having that extra little bonus, that panic Landfall in your back pocket is a nice bonus. Although I don't know that it would be my first choice. I think probably Claws would be would be where I would end up.
Yeah, Ionic Blink was something that was really underrated for a little while. And I remember when those, like, I don't remember specifically which website it was. It might have been Guardian.gg, but one of the websites that lets you look at the kill to death and win to loss percentages of people who were picking specific perks on their subclass. And people recognized that the players running Ionic Blink were in the very, very small minority, and their win ratio was 10 points higher than anyone else who was running Stormcallers. And that's when they realized, huh, maybe this mobility is, you know, useful. And it turns out it is, because in the time that it would take you to glide across the ground to get to the next target, you know, you're wasting some of your super while you're doing that. You might as well just blink, cover that distance quicker, and take him down. And I've been using Ionic Blink from the very first time I dodged a tether, basically. And I was like, there's no way I can go back to this. You feel so slow and vulnerable when you don't have it after you've, you know, used it once.
And one more note before we move on to Titans. Stormcaller is at the top of my list for PvP subclasses in the game. I have it rated number one. I think it is incredibly powerful in an all-around sense. The only real weakness to this subclass is the grenade. Other than that, it is top tier.